Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta.
Thank you for joining me, folks, and welcome to another edition of Demanded Walk Minute. Well, folks, it's deer season, so you know what that means. It means them deer running around mating all willy-nilly, and I have been practicing sounding like a sexy buck. Whoop, that's a buck that swallowed a duck. Hang on. Why not sound like I got those in different area codes or what?
That's Wisconsin YouTube star Charlie Behrens. He's the man behind the popular web series, Manitowoc Minute. Charlie gives us a decidedly Wisconsinian take on all the headlines from the state, the country, and the world. Beta senior Manitowoc County correspondent Maureen McCollum sat down to talk to Charlie about 2018 and some of his favorite holiday traditions.
Hey, dear folks, the Manitowoc Minute is one of the greatest news shows in all Wisconsin, the most trusted, mind I add, the most trusted news show on Facebook, right up there next to Dem Russians. Listen, we do the local news, we do the national news, the international news from the Wisconsin perspective, and most importantly, we find the greatest deals on Craigslist. Hey, speaking of Craigslist, it's time for the Craigslist kicker. We got a humdinger for you this week. It's a Beam's Choice Flask Cattern. The guy says, I used it for my cat, but then spread the ashes. Cleaned it out with the soap and water. Collector's item. Holy cats. Or I guess ashy cats. Now look, some of you might want to pass judgment here, but here's what I says. I says, judge not the guy who turned a bourbon bottle into a cattern and put it on the Kenosha Craigslist. Judge the guy who went down to Kenosha to buy it. Why would you pour gin and tonic when you can pour a catatonic?
So you're back for the holidays. How's that been?
It's been cool. It's been fun coming up with another hour of material. And, you know, Wisconsin's kind of the thing, like, can you do the Wisconsin character? And how far can you go with that? And I'm always surprised by, like, the deeper I go, the more material there is. It's like exponential material.
There's like a constant hunger for people in Wisconsin wanting to make fun of themselves.
I think so. Which is the fun. I mean, that's the cool part about all of this. Like, the culture here is very much so, you know, joke about yourself, joke with yourself, laugh together, drink together. It's really cool. It's fun to be part of it.
I've always wondered for comedians, how difficult is it to come up with new material? Because I think there is also that hunger, like, people don't want to see the same show twice.
Oh, no, not at all.
So how difficult is that for you to keep your material fresh?
Well, I mean, so normally a comedian is not going to go to a market as small as Wisconsin. Usually they're going nationally. I mean, they will come to Wisconsin, but they won't come to Wisconsin and play all these different cities that I'm playing, and then Minnesota, Michigan, you know. They'll kind of come to an area, and then they'll come back like 16 months later with a brand new show. So to come up with a brand new show in a year was a little bit challenging, but I'm glad I did it because I think I found a lot of funny stuff, and I've certainly enjoyed it. So
it wasn't a slow year.
No, it was a lot happened this year. Yeah, yeah, no. And even beyond that, like, I did this thing over the summer where I wanted to see, like, Wisconsin through the eyes of Craigslist. So I bought this 82 Volkswagen Rabbit, 45 miles to the gallon. It's diesel. Yeah. And then we camoed it up and then just took it all the way up to the Apostle Islands, took it to a Mohican veterans powwow in Stockbridge Muncie Reservation, and you know, went by Lambo with it, did a lot of things. So I got a lot of material about Wisconsin by just seeing it in kind of a different way.
Because this thing has lasted almost a week, we are going to drag race it at the 141 Speedway in Manitowoc. That is going to be exciting. All right,
start your engine.
Oh yeah, I'm so screwed. What do you got in there, a V8, a V50? He's got a V8. Okay. I don't know why you didn't tell me that before we bet pink slips on this thing.
So I want to know about your family traditions since we're in the holiday season. What is it that Charlie Behrens likes to do when he's in Wisconsin with his family?
We do a lot of stuff. So we have a big celebration Christmas Eve. Like, I'm one of 12 kids, so everybody gets together. We kind of pick Secret Santas because you're not getting gifts for all your siblings. It's the wrong economy. Any economy is the wrong economy for that. So, you know, we pick that. We exchange gifts. And this is my favorite part. We exchange a gift with somebody who we picked at Thanksgiving. But then we do this, like, sort of Kris Kringle, like, roast of them. So it's like you get them a gift, but nobody really cares about the gift. They all just spend time, like, really trying to find the best roast of, you know, their sibling or mother, father, or whatever. So that's one of my favorite parts
about
Christmas.
That's very precious.
Yeah, it's great.
So if you channel Manitowoc Minute Newsman, mm-hmm. what do you think his family traditions would be around the holidays?
Well, folks, let me tell you this. The special part about Christmas is having a nice brandy old-fashioned, okay? You cannot have Christmas. You know that Santa wants that brandy old-fashioned, okay? So if you want Santa to bring you presents, what you got to do is you got to make it right, okay? You're using the brandy, all right? And you spin her up real good, okay? And you get that mix perfect. You taste it, but don't taste too much of it. Because if you taste too much of it, Santa is not getting his fair share, and you're not getting that Xbox 360 you want. Do kids still play Xbox 360?
I don't know.
But you know what I'm saying. And so you make sure Santa is good and intoxicated, that he's gotta have Rudolph drive the sleigh home tonight, okay? And keep her moving.
Are there other, like, Wisconsin holiday traditions that you kind of admire from afar that you wish your family participated in?
Well, I mean, we like go hunting, you know, we do some
classic.
Go hunt them pheasants.
Sure.
You know, I'm a bad shot. Don't worry, pheasants. we do, you know, some people like go get the Christmas tree, go cut it down. I've never done that. You know, okay, so a big tradition is like going out and, you know, fixing the Christmas lights, basically, because you put them up, but then one of them, someone drives over one of them, the whole strand goes out. So it's like your hands are freezing, you know.
Yeah.
My dad's probably listening to this, like, when have you ever gone out and do it? I've done it before, Dad. I've done it. Mostly it's me sitting inside drinking, watching my dad change out mm-hmm. Christmas bulbs. But yeah, and then it's a lot of hanging out and eating and, you know, watching some bad football, you know, all of that.
I'm wondering, since you've been traveling so much around Wisconsin, if you've picked up on other people's traditions and maybe are incorporating it into your own life.
You know what? One of the things that I've kind of gotten more into as I've gone around is like playing sheep's head,
mm-hmm.
you know, and my dad and my grandpa love sheep's head, played it a bunch. But like sheep's head and euchre are like the two big card games, and here I am not, I mean, it's not really a Christmas tradition, but Christmas is the time where we, in my family, always play sheep's head, so that's a big thing that I think every family should incorporate, because sheep's head specifically is kind of a complicated game, and it gets better the more you don't care, I've found. But here's the trick. Everybody else at the table has to care to kind of save you from yourself.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I'm doing a really bad job coming up with these Christmas traditions around.
No, it's great. No, it's fine.
I mean, there are some, like, traditional things people eat. Like, what do you call those cherries?
The brandy cherries.
The brandy cherries.
Yeah, they're just, like, brandies that have been sitting, cherries sitting in brandy.
Yeah, so, I mean, those are good because they've been, you know, distilling forever, so.
Yeah, my problem is I'm like, these are delicious, and then I eat seven.
And then you're like, what? I didn't drink a thing. How did this happen?
Yeah. So 2018 was a big year
mm-hmm.
for you personally.
Yeah.
But also when it came to the news, what were some of the biggest stories in your eyes in 2018?
You know, being a student of environmental studies and everything, we had our greatest carbon output this year. I mean, that's huge because it's becoming very evident, I hope, to everybody that this is an issue that needs to be addressed. And it's not a right or a left issue. It's something to embrace. We have to embrace it. I don't think anyone's questioning that.
Climate report warns of extreme weather, displacement of millions without action. Okay, folks, so eventually we should really take some action here. Climate change may cause beer shortage. Buy a Prius or die, guy.
So that's on the environmental side, but I think that since it impacts everything, it is the most important story of 2018.
And can you talk about using humor to talk about big issues like the environmental stuff going on right now and climate change, and how you can get people to think about it through a different lens through, you know, the Manitowoc Minute?
My number one job is to make people laugh and to make people enjoy themselves and forget about, you know, whatever, just to laugh. Because laughter, I think, a lot, you know, people seek it. To kind of integrate these, back to your question, to try and integrate important issues into the Manitowoc Minute is important to me, but I want to address the issues with levity. And I don't want to personally attack people. I think we have too much toxicity in sort of in politics and even in comedy that whether even if you're, you know, if you're saying something I agree with, I know because of the way you're saying it, the person who doesn't agree with you has already turned you off. So then whose hearts and minds are you changing? I would argue you're not changing as many as you could.
And I thought you handled the Baraboo High School photo incident sort of in that way.
Okay, now back to the Baraboo picture. How the heck did this happen, guy? Well, the photographer says he asked the kids to wave to their parents, and maybe he did, but something apparently got lost in translation, specifically a German translation. Because, guy, that's not a wave. Okay, calling that a wave is like calling a Mercedes a Toyota. Yeah, they're both cars, but only one was used by Hitler. That's a history joke. Speaking of history, we gotta start taking it more seriously in high school and college before we repeat it. Hate can't fix hate. Only love can. I know that because I read it on the back of a Subaru last week. Instead, let's answer this hateful mistake with the lesson. The lesson is if you see your friend jump off a bridge, don't jump in after him. Stop and wave off any other friends that may be going to jump in after him. And when you wave, make sure your elbow is bent and your fingers are open. Okay, that's wave.
And that's one too where, like, you know, I'm seeing like these kids are in high school, you know, so I wanted to blur out their faces and address the issue, not the people, you know. And but I think you have to address an issue like that. I don't think you can just ignore it or just say they were waving, even if that's what was told to them to wave. I mean, I'm not going to distrust my eyes, you know, and I don't think anyone is. So I just think we have to look at that, see it for what it is, acknowledge it. And learn from it. You know, my guess is most of those kids did not mean to do what they did. Maybe some of them did mean to do, but the problem is a lot of them followed along and followed suit. And to allow that one to slide is to normalize it. And I think that does more damage than to address it, say it was wrong, and move on.
So another big story of 2018. Is the Green Bay Packers season.
How are we supposed to get over the Packers' loss to the Vikings? Oh, my gosh. Simple. You just pull out the nearest Google machine and you type in Vikings Super Bowl wins. It's the only Google search result that gives you zero results in 51 years. Keep her moving.
How are you handling
folks,
this?
Well, okay, so I've been seeing my therapist, Linda, on a bi-weekly basis, okay, ever since week three, okay? Listen, it's been tough, okay? And I've had my special little doll that I hug every night, okay? It's a little Packer, okay? Back from Reggie White, okay, 92. Oh. He's like a little Packer pillow. I hug him every night. I say, Reggie, what would you do here, guy? What would Reggie do? WWRD. And he says, guy, you just got to pray. So I says, dear God, please help them Packers pull through. Please. And then they didn't get to the playoffs. I says, God, what the heck? Did I not say it loud enough, guy? And he was like, it's not their year, Charlie. So that's okay. That's all right. You know, we just got to keep her moving. Okay?
It's tough.
We went through this before. Mm-hmm. We'll go through it again.
It's been hard to remain optimistic.
It's been rough, yeah. But,
hey,
you know
what? We got the Bucks.
We do. That's it. You know, just when them Packers are starting to say, you know, guy, we need a year off from being good. We got them Brewers and them Bucks to elevate us, you know, the Admirals, if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We got it all, you know.
And you got to go to Lambeau.
You sang
out the barrel? Right?
Yeah, we did roll out the barrel, which was great. I mean, that's
amazing.
Like, yeah, it's awesome. Like, did it at the Bears. The best game of the year was when the Packers beat the Bears. First game of the year, 100th season, was awesome. Such a cool experience.
I mean, you've had such a crazy year going to Lambeau, going to Miller Park during the playoffs. You have this beer named after you.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I prefer keep her moving. Stay thirsty, dear guy.
Yeah. I like walk down the streets and I see people wearing their like keep her moving t-shirts.
Nice.
I mean, that's crazy.
It is crazy. It's crazy. I mean, and I, you know, I just feel fortunate that people picked up on this and enjoy it and continue to enjoy it, you know?
So I'm wondering for you personally, is it hard to balance like who you are with your character? Like, as you're coming, I mean, even in this conversation, it's
say,
like, where does Manitowoc Minute Dude end, and where does, like, Charlie Barron's begin?
It's really just a continuum, you know, and I just try not to think about it. You know, I come from, like, an improv background, and the number one rule in improv is don't think, so I just try to do what I feel like, and I'm wrong a lot of the times, but if you're wrong often enough, you know, you're right sometimes, the more you just do it, you kind of find your deal, and I think that's kind of a life lesson. The more you, don't be afraid of being wrong, just be afraid of not doing, you know?
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I just made that up. See?
Okay. It's great. Yeah. I liked in your UW-Madison, the J School graduation speech, mm-hmm. when you kind of talked about that a bit. Like, he's always lived within me.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. That, I mean, it couldn't, I don't think, come across as authentic if it wasn't a serious part of me and who I am and, you know, how I grew up. I mean, I'm excited that, you know, that people enjoy the show still, and I want to keep doing it. And, you know, I think what I really try for the show is to, you know, be positive and find a positive comedy to kind of, like, I don't know, just help people enjoy life more and not, like, deny that things aren't maybe always going great, but, you know, try to laugh along the way.
That's Charlie Barron's. He's the...
Also, as always, go Packers. The Bears.
Charlie Barron's is the man behind the hit YouTube series Manitowoc Minute. He talked to Wisconsin Life host producer Maureen McCollum. Thank you for doing this interview, Maureen, and thanks for doing such a great job.
You're welcome.
Can I buy you a drink to celebrate?
Sure. Why don't we go to Tipsy McStagger's? It's right across the street.
Sounds good to me.
Can I get an old fashioned, please?
Okay. What's yours?
I was thinking about... No, on second thought, I think I'd like something a little more festive in keeping with the season. Ooh, how about,
Look, mister, I'm standing here waiting for you to make up your mind.
Thank you for being so patient. How about a flaming rum punch? No. Ooh, I know. I'll have a velvety, venti eggnogachino with extra cinnamon, nutmeg, and 3 dollops of mayo chup on the side, please. ASAP. Thank you kindly, sir.
Hey, look, mister. We save hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast, and we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear? Or do I have to slip you my lip for a convincer?
Peace, Nick. It's cool. He's Canadian. Just give him an old-fashioned, too.
Okay.
So, Doug, what'd you get Kate for Christmas?
Oh, I think I might have outdone myself this year, Maureen. I built her a scale model replica of Frank Lloyd Wright's Taliesin Estate in Spring Green, and I used paper mache, popsicle sticks, macaroni noodles, and glitter.
Oh, my gosh. She's going to love it.
That does it. Out you two pixies go, through the door or out the window. Would you show these gentlemen to the door?
Sure.
This way, gentlemen.
I guess we should have checked out the Yelp reviews before we went in there.
Definitely. Let's just go to the popcorn.
That sounds like a plan. Let's just take care of this and we'll be on our way. What if there were an infinite number of It's a Wonderful Life story worlds? Well, there are, in the multiverse. We'll find out more in just a moment. She's Maureen McCollum.
And he's Doug Gordon.
You're listening to Beta
on Wisconsin Public Radio.